You're back with Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. Our next guest suggests political conversations can fuel a distorted democracy. Taylor Carlson is Associate Professor of Political Science at Washington University in St. Louis. Her new book is Through the Grapevine, Socially Transmitted Information and Distorted Democracy.
Socially transmitted information is, I'm going to use a little bit of the word in the definition, but it's information that is being communicated through other people in conversations, whether those conversations are happening online or offline in person. So the idea here is we can think about what many have called the two-step flow, or thinking about this as a game of telephone where information is flowing first from the media to people who are paying attention to that media, and then from those people on to everyone else. And so it's the second step where the people who get information from the media and pass it on to others, it's that information where they have sort of repackaged what they learned from the news for other people. That is the socially transmitted information. It's what's coming to us from other people in conversation, whether those conversations are happening in person or online.
And in your book, you talk about the ways that they repackage it, because it's not always verbatim, is it? And sometimes maybe there's a little bit of a spin put on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that was sort of the goal of the first part of the book, was really to unpack how this information changes through social transmission. And I argue that information becomes sparse, biased, less accurate, and mobilizing through this social transmission. And by sparse, I mean you're getting less of it. So if a given article or news segment had maybe 10 facts in it, say, we might only pass on one or two of those 10 facts. So we're getting less information through the process. That what information remains is going to be biased, in that it's going to take on sort of the spin, to use your words, of that reflects your political partisanship. So if you're a Democrat, you're probably going to pass on more information that makes your party or your policy preferences or your candidate look good. And if you're a Republican, you're going to do the same thing for the Republican candidate, the Republican policy preferences, things like that. Less accurate. We might misremember some details, either intentionally or unintentionally. We might exaggerate the facts. We might underreport the facts. And sometimes we might just totally misremember where something happened, the degree to which it happened, whatever that may be. So the information is going to be a little bit less accurate. But at the same time that this information is changing in these important ways, it also becomes more mobilizing. And part of this is because people are injecting calls to action as they're passing on information. So while journalists might have these professional norms sort of trying to keep them from trying to push people to take action and trying to objectively deliver the facts, when we're just talking about politics or talking about the news, we might not be doing that. And we might say, hey, here's this article that I read, and you need to go vote, and you need to call your legislator, and you need to do these things. And so it's these calls to action that get repackaged in with the information in and of itself that sort of creates this interesting mess of information that's being passed on to other people socially.
Someone might listen to that and they might think, well, great, you're getting people to, you know, engage in civic discourse and getting them to participate in maybe the political process or in their communities. So talk about the pros and cons of this.
Yeah, absolutely. So you are absolutely right that there are definitely benefits to socially transmitted information, and increasing political engagement is one of them. Many scholars before me have demonstrated that the power of social networks to mobilize people to action. And notably, my colleague Betsy Sinclair at WashU, among many others with a long history of this type of research happening right here in St. Louis, actually. So we know social networks can be really influential in getting people to take action, and that even the information that gets communicated can take on these properties as well, as I show in the book. And so that's definitely a good thing. Within reason, I think, because I also find in the book that there are sometimes the socially transmitted information can make people more likely to engage in ways that are sort of outside of the norm of small D Democratic civic engagements. This could be things like patrolling outside of polling stations. This could be things like harassing legislators. This could be things like participating in violent political protests on both sides of the political aisle. And so these, that socially transmitted information can also increase political engagement, can be good, but at the same time, it could sort of start to chip away at some of the foundations of sort of civic engagement for the betterment of democratic health and functioning. And so I think part of the idea that I try to tackle more head on in the book is thinking about socially transmitted information as contributing to what I call distorted democracy as opposed to entirely dysfunctional democracy. And so even with these informational changes, you could see this as a really bad thing. You could say, okay, people who are relying on their friends for information are becoming biased. They're becoming more engaged. They're becoming more polarized. They're becoming more misinformed. This is all really bad. And they're taking action. Like, this is really, really not good. But you could also look at this and say, okay, but listen, these are people who weren't otherwise engaging in politics. I do also find evidence that people do learn from socially transmitted information and learn accurate information. So they're learning more than they would if they were to just totally bury their heads in the sand. So that could be viewed as a good thing as well. And there are definitely arguments out there that increasing polarization is not necessarily always a bad thing. It can help you choose legislators that better represent your policy preferences, things like that. And so I think throughout the book, I try to sort of walk through at the end of each chapter, like, okay, where are we here? And what is sort of the glass half full and the glass half empty approach to interpreting these results?
What would you say would be the main takeaways that you want people to get from this work?
Thank you for the question. So I actually think that one of the key things that I hope people take away from the book is that both the actively and the casually informed, I think, have a lot of homework to do in trying to make sure that we're harnessing the benefits of socially transmitted information and minimizing the potential consequences. And so by that, I mean, I think in many cases, people who are actively informed don't necessarily realize the role that they play in shaping other people's views, potentially. I think to some people, it's they're excited about the news, they're excited about the election, they're just shooting the breeze or having a conversation about politics around the water cooler, whatever it may be, without thinking about the impact that the information that they share could be having on someone else who might not be following the news at all. And so thinking, sort of taking that moment to think about when you talk about what you hear in the news, you know, do you taking a step to think about, okay, am I adding my opinion here or telling people, you know, this is what I read, but this is my opinion. So kind of drawing that line more explicitly for folks. And so I think that is really important in sort of having these conversations about, you know, this is the source I got it from and why I trust it. You might not trust it, but let's bring this into the conversation as well. And on the casually informed side, I think, so these are the people who are relying on that socially transmitted information. I think it's really important to think about what we hear and learn about what's going on in the world socially as needing to be treated with the same level of scrutiny that we are trained to evaluate information from the news with.
That's Taylor Carlson, Associate Professor of Political Science at WashU in St. Louis. Her new book, Through the Grapevine, Socially Transmitted Information and Distorted Democracy.